Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships, and Confessions of Reluctant Long Island Psychic. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an artist, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole and those women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you today?
Hello, Cindy. How are you, love?
Good, and it's so funny because today, you know, Spirit's been talking, actually all week, and it's a combination of, you know, some things that my clients have been telling me and, you know, things I'm observing in my own life, and that we're all moving just too fast all the time. And, you know, with me, Spirit keeps telling me to slow down. And I wasn't even going to bring this up on the radio show because, you know, some of my clients have had some of the flukiest accidents, and it really was, falling down things or doing things, and it was really just because they were rushing, okay? So I said, I'm not going to bring it up. And then I had thrown some, like the big cereal. We have these like plastic containers to keep the cereal fresh. And I threw it earlier up there. And I obviously didn't take time to put it properly. And it was cracked my head open when I opened the cabinet. So I think Spirit was saying, I think you should talk about this. You know, how.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? How we're. Now, you can imagine, I'm like, no, I'm not going to bring this up tonight. And like 2 seconds ago, this happened to me. So I'm like, okay,
That's funny. We're all rushing,
we're all in a hurry, we're all moving fast. And, you know, sometimes I think what's happening is we don't have time to think things through. And, okay, so maybe we fall and we get a little hurt or we get a little something. But it's a bigger issue than that. In other words, if we don't slow down, we miss big red flags. We miss maybe some signs from health telling us something's not good. Pay attention to this. So, you know, this is the year, if we remember, it's the year of the dream catcher. It's the year of the soulmate. But it was also the year in which Spirit channeled me a couple of therapies for people. Joy therapy, which is just doing something fun. And it has joy therapy implies healthy things, you know, going for a walk. It does not imply spending big money. Retail therapy is not joy therapy. You'll end up in big
No.
No. It has to imply not big money, okay? And then quiet therapy and, you know, beach therapy, outdoor therapy. And quiet therapy could be combined with the beach therapy, but quiet therapy just means you just take some time to detach from your phones, detach from your computers, stop talking. Stop watching TV and maybe sit. And it's kind of like meditation, but it's not really meditation because meditation you're trying to not have. With this, you're trying to say, what thoughts have I been distracting from? Because this is a culture in which we distract. And we distract so much that we miss really big things, like that Spirit's trying to tell us. Okay, so if we slow down, and these can come to us, it's like for me, I'm rushing all day, rushing. And according to latest studies, if you rush around, it prevents cancer. And I'm laughing, I'll probably never get cancer in 10,000 lifetimes the way I rush around. I don't know why that has anything to do with preventing cancer, but we're rushing, rushing. So then sort of when I try to go to sleep, some of these things will pop in my head and I can't sleep because these are things I should have thought about. Or I wake up in the middle of the night saying, oh my God, I didn't do this, or with an awareness. So let's kind of, you know, I give like sort of homework assignments once in a while. The homework assignment is let's slow down a little bit, okay? Let's just do things a little slower. not rush so much. I remember once I was rushing so much that I wanted to get in my car and out of my car at the same moment, and I hit my head with the car door. I closed my head.
No.
Okay. Now, it sounds funny, right? I had a goose egg so big that and to this day, now I have an osteoma on my head, which doesn't do anything. But if it grows big enough, I'm going to look like a unicorn. But the point is, I was trying to get in and out of the car at the same moment, okay?
Like, yeah, you can't do that.
Nope. So a little bit of, like, let's slow down a little bit. Let's put the phones down. Let's put some things down. Let's do some quiet therapy, some joy therapy. Let's do some nature therapy. You know, you can't have the excuse. Some people say it's too hot. They can't walk. It's too hot. Let's go out for a walk. Do these things. And let's not see if when you're walking, things don't come to you. Like, you know, when Beethoven, you remember I wrote the play about Beethoven, one of the things that Beethoven would do is he would go for a walk every afternoon for quite a long time. And a lot of the things that he wrote happened then because he would get away from the piano and the things would come. So if you're a creative person actually getting away and walking and doing something that's not actually doing the project will help you with the creative ability. So I almost think we're losing so much of that, like, as we run around and distract. So let's all slow down for creativity.
You know what? It's actually funny that you're thinking about this today because, you know, I have been on a little bit of a war path myself. And, you know, because Lisa's away. She's on a flight right now back over to Dallas and because she's got another security gig for one of her other side hustles. So she's going out to do a festival out there. And, you know, it took a lot because she's been working kickboxing, you know, so I've been trying to take care of her, take care of the house, take care of the stuff that I need to take care of. And you know me, Cindy, I'm a caretaker and I tend to take on too much. And I've been, like, running around like crazy. So the other morning, you know, we woke up and, you know, of course, it was like, I think it was probably yesterday or the day before. And Lisa was like, well, listen, she's like, I'm going to do you a favor. And I said, what's that? She goes, we're going to make a list of what you have to do. And she's like, no, she goes, no, the first thing is first. She's like, what do you need to do today for you? And I told her what I needed to accomplish for that day. She goes, okay. She goes, now, what are you helping me with? And she literally wrote me out a list. And she said, check them off as I go through, right down to when I have to walk the dog. And at the end of it, of the list, she wrote, I love you. And then she has in big, like, star, and then in all caps, breathe, and then another star. Because she's like, you're going too fast. She's like, you need to calm down. She's like, there's a lot to do, and there's always going to be a lot to do. She goes, but just because there's always a lot to do doesn't mean that everything needs to be done in the same, all in the same day. She's like, Rome wasn't built in a day, and a lot does not mean fast. So she was like, you know, and she kind of put me, you know, she put me in check as she and I tend to do to one another as often as possible or as often as needed.
Well, it's because
it's funny that you talk about this because I was in that mode, and had it not been for my wife, I would have been probably driving myself nuts.
Yeah, and I don't think it's just you. In other words, this is a little bit of zeitgeist because you're saying you already had this talk with Lisa. But I had this talk with a couple of my clients because they did get in some really weird sort of accident-y things that thank God didn't turn out to be tragic. Maybe, you know, it's not great to break an ankle, but the point was everyone was, they were rushing too much, okay, and going too fast, you know, moving too fast, doing too fast. And, you know, one was just running down the stairs too fast, with her arms full with stuff and not holding on. In other words, we should never walk down the stairs without holding on. I don't care how young or old you are. You know, you have something in one hand, but you have another one on the railing, okay? And you don't necessarily run when you have your hands full, because if you go to fall, and of course she had her computer, her iPhone, and an iPad, like I walk around with all day long, in her possession. And she didn't want to break those things and said, you know, she almost killed herself. Do you know what I mean? Like, so let's think about slowing down a little bit. I think maybe we're all carrying too much, doing too much, and all of these things are too much. And so You know, it's interesting that you said you and Lisa had this already because, you know, again, remember I told you Spirit's been telling me to discuss this, and I said, nah, I'm not going to do that tonight. And then I almost, you know, cracked my head with the cereal thing. So obviously, we're all trying to accomplish a lot. You know, if you're a creative mm-hmm. person the way you and I are, we have a day job. And fortunately, I love my day job, so I'm blessed. But I have a yep. day job, and then, you know, I'm a theater critic that has deadlines, and I write articles, and I'm trying to write a play, and I do my own housework and everything, and I'm a wife and a mother, and hopefully a friend to people, that it's just almost so overwhelming, all these things, that I'm just rushing too much. And, you mm-hmm. know, every time, you know, I use a lot of herbal teas, and, you know, they have a lot of different sayings on them, but the one that I get at least once a day is, you know, nature never rushes, yet everything's accomplished and everything gets done, okay? Now, why would I get that one every day, like, all the time? Because,
yeah.
again, it's telling me, slow down, take it easy, and it's the same thing with you, and again, we're going to miss certain things if we do move too fast. We're just going to miss important yep. things. We're not going to pay attention. Maybe, you know, we're rushing around so much we forget to do something that keeps our car safe or, you know, just all these things. So
oh, for
let's
sure.
all just make a little of practice. We're going to do a little more joy therapy, but a little more quiet therapy. Just a little more like if you take a 15-minute quiet break here and there, you're probably going to accomplish more anyway than you are
yep.
when you're running all the time. And,
oh, for sure.
You know, and it's a reminder to you and I because we do a lot, you know what I mean? And again, I'm always rushing. And, you know, the dead arrive in the morning for me, like that, especially if it's a client I haven't read yet. And they're really not supposed mm-hmm. to talk to me unless I have the tarot cards in my presence. But there's always an Italian grandmother or a Jewish mother that says to me, that comes through and says, don't worry, honey, I know you get stage fright, but you can hear me, honey, I'll talk to you later. And then they go like this, and you're going to stop eating your breakfast while you're cleaning your kitchen. You're going to sit here with us like a lady and eat your breakfast, and then you're going to clean up. No one's going to care there's a crumb over there, but your stomach will care that you're shoveling your food down. Like they always tell me this when they come.
Yeah.
Sit down and eat your food. Okay, we're always eating on the run, you know, everything's on the run. So it's a little bit, I think, like life gets faster, but I think if we fall and get hurt, then we're slowing up, we can't do something for 2 months. So all that
yeah.
rushing we did, now there's 2 months we can't do anything. It's Spirit's way of saying to us, you know, you're only going to accomplish so much in a day. You can't do everything. So
yep.
we'll... So are you in agreement that you and I making a pact slow down a bit?
Yes, 100%.
Okay, good, because you now I feel better.
100%, especially since my wife is not here to keep me in check. I have to keep myself in check. So.
Oh, yeah. That's the same thing here because TJ, you know, is recovering, thank God, and I love that. But, you know, he's not doing as many things with me as he would, so that gives me a little more time. And all I'm doing is working, cleaning this, doing that, writing, blah, 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 blah. And
oh, yeah.
the other day I just said, you know what, I am going to just watch something that I've been wanting to watch for a long time, and I'm just going to sit here and watch it. I'm
mm-hmm.
not going to do. And it felt really good to just, and it was only a big half an hour, but I felt like, yes, I needed that, a slow down. So let's
yep.
all remember we have to slow down. Now, even though we've put Debbie Tony through recently, I'm going to put her through because this is tragic. So, you know, I'll have
oh,
her tell it. But
okay.
And at first I wasn't even going to have her call in because I didn't know if I could help. Okay, so
yep.
let her tell it rather than me.
You got it. Hello, Debbie Tony, you're on the air.
Hi, guys, it's Debbie, and I'm calling in today because Jeff passed away last night.
Now, tell people who Jeff is.
About it.
You know Jeff, but we don't know who Jeff is.
Jeff is one of my best friends. I don't know. He didn't do anything for you, Cindy.
No, he did.
Just,
you know what? He did do something. I think with the menu, or
yes.
or one of the shows that you did, he had given some feedback. Yes, so I do. I obviously did talk to him from the other side because he reminded me that he did help with something with one of the things that we did, one of the shorter plays not too long ago. So a sudden death is never going to be an easy one on, you know, for certain people. And, you know, we were just talking about slowing down a little bit before this. I think what he's saying is he wasn't paying attention to some things that were going on in his own body. Okay. And maybe just ignoring them is what he's saying, you know, being busy. You know, he's not able to communicate very well because he doesn't really know the language because he hasn't really crossed over yet. Okay. It's like talking to a ghost, a poltergeist. They're not impossible to talk to, but he has a grandmother who passed away. Did you know of her at all?
No, I know his dad passed away. His mom is right now alone. So.
Right. He has a grandmother on the mother's side. And obviously the man standing that's doing most of the talking is his dad.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And his dad has not been able to get him to cross over yet because he still thinks he's dreaming. That's what his father's saying. Like, if you die suddenly, it kind of feels like a dream because to be a poltergeist is to be walking around, to be able to come over. You see people that are other poltergeists. Maybe there's Native Americans walking around. Maybe there's Civil War soldiers. It's a little out of sequence because there are people that just haven't crossed over for hundreds of years. It's a little bit scary, but it feels like a dream you can't wake up from. Okay, so once you contacted me, his father, and I wasn't sure it was a father or a grandfather because he was standing near this particular grandmother, was the one that, thank God you were talking to me, because then they could almost, it's comforting for a soul that just died to hear me hearing the dead, even if I can't really hear him directly, at least they can communicate with him, but
good.
I can't really. So he's, you know, he had so much left to do, so I think that's part of the problem. Like, I don't know what his creative projects are that he wanted getting finished, but he seems to be a little antsy about that. Do you know what he's talking about?
Well, I know he wasn't happy with his life the way it was, and he was working in the family business, and we talked about him getting out of it and doing something that he wanted to do, and he always wanted to do something creative. And, of course, I met him during pandemic times, right before we were supposed to do, you know, you can't take it with you. And he wanted to act, and he wanted to do stuff, you know. And
so he's an actor too. He was an actor too.
Yeah, he loved it. Mm-hmm.
Okay, because that's what he's upset about. In other words, now his dad's standing there. Now you can imagine his dad. If he's been doing a family business, that has something to do with his father. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And he's mad because he didn't do what he wanted to do. He's an angry guy on the other side right now. I don't know if he had anger issues at the end, but a heart attack oftentimes is a broken heart. It's often a lot of stress. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
he's very sarcastic.
He
didn't express himself. He told me he loved me once. I told him a zillion times. But he had a hard time expressing his feelings, and he was very depressed. And I said, why don't you just tell me, why are you holding on to it? Just talk to me about how you feel. He's like a turtle. He'd head in, and then he wouldn't communicate, and I forced him to talk about it.
Well, that's the impression that, first of all, he's not a good communicator. I'll tell you that. Now, a lot of times when people have first died, like Kristen's listening, like I could talk to her guy who passed, even though he had some drug addiction, because he was a better communicator in many ways, okay? Like, people who are not good communicators on Earth are not necessarily great when they first cross over. Do you know what I mean? They just, okay. But the overwhelming emotion that I got, and that's why I didn't really necessarily want to talk to you right now today, is anger from him. You know, like, he's angry that he didn't accomplish what he wanted to accomplish.
Yep, that was his biggest complaint. That was it, right there.
And that's what he kept saying to me. And yet, you see, he didn't. Okay, I was speaking to a client today, and her sister-in-law has been dying of cancer for quite some time. and I'm surprised she's still alive. And yet she's basically does nothing but sleep and doesn't talk anymore. And I was saying, well, she's up in spirit. And all she keeps saying is that she should have left her husband. Now that she sees that his cancer is anger, and that if she had left him, she wouldn't have gotten the cancer. Now she doesn't want to die now. She wants to come back and change everything. Like, he's almost like that. But I was saying to the soul of that woman, because I could talk to any soul living or dead, even though I was talking to her sister-in-law, that you have to take responsibility that your life wasn't what it was going to be because you didn't make it be what it should be. Okay, like she would have had to leave her husband. These are actions she would have had to do. You know, Jeff is kind of blaming his dad and blaming his mom and blaming everybody else, but ultimately he made the decision to stay in that family business and do it. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Even so, he's got a lot of anger. I mean, he must have been hard to deal with at times because he is a very depressed yes. personality.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
I mean, he doesn't. I don't think he particularly likes me right now, by the way, from when I'm getting the impression.
But he knows that everything you're saying is true, because the other day I went to the movies and I said, please come with me. It's right by your house. Why don't you just come on? And say, okay, you're just going to be a lump on a log like always. Like, he couldn't even get himself out of his house to go somewhere that was 5 minutes away because he was tired. He's always tired and he's always grumpy. And, you know, he knew he wasn't happy in his life. I'm like, well, what are we going to do about it?
Now, can you see how there's a mind-body connection, okay? If you are not doing what you want to do, and, you know, after a while, you'll end up with a heart attack. You'll end in anger. Stuffed down anger is not good for, you know, your whole body, okay? It's just not good. Depression, you know, chronic depression will lead to health issues. And, mm-hmm. You know, you talked about the cat. Now, this is coming from the father, okay? Jeff can't really communicate much, although he can make a lot of faces at me that tells me he's not happy with what I'm saying, okay? So I've gotten that much from him, okay?
Okay.
But now, didn't you, wasn't it the menu that you did with him, by the way?
Yeah, we did a dry run. I don't.
Okay, now remember, what's the menu about?
Oh, my God. Holy crap.
The menu
choice
is about
death.
Choosing a long, drawn-out death or a fast one. Okay?
Wow.
Now, that was sort of a waking dream for him at the time. He, you know, just choose what you're going to do in your life, but that he just said it was the menu, okay? So,
wow.
So, you know, maybe that was a little waking dream for him that he wasn't really, you know, paying attention to. Like, when we do creative things, sometimes it's just, like, when I used to be a children's entertainer, the characters that I portrayed really portrayed the different stages of my life as I would do them, okay? So I began to, that's really weird that, you know, Pocahontas is the character now when I was getting more spiritual, or Jasmine when I was a belly dancer. How did these characters kind of parallel my life? But so his dad is saying his mother is trying to guilt you about the cat. Okay.
Yes,
now,
she is.
Jeff would tell you to take the cat. Jeff would tell you to take the cat. Now notice how the father died, because he's the bet was, it was the easier going of the two. Okay. Or at least the one who wasn't so big the guilter, okay? Now, Jeff would probably tell you to take the cat, but he's not permitted to talk because he hasn't crossed over yet. So what he's going to say isn't what he would say after he goes to God, okay, and gets some life for him. But what the father said is, this is a typical manipulation. You know, people do it all the time on deathbeds. You know how many of my clients have been asked on their deathbed by their mother to take care of their brother? And it's, you know, in Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships and in Confessions of Reluctant Psychic, I have this example of a woman that, you know, the brother was like a psychopath, and the mother said, take care of him, okay? And he's a grown
I remember
man.
That.
And
of course I remember
he beat
that.
Her with 1 inch of her life,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, people, when they ask you on their deathbed, are manipulating you, because we're not our brother's keeper. You should not ask someone to do that, okay? So, and people take advantage at a moment of weakness, and I've seen it a lot of times, how people get people to sign over, say, an insurance policy that was really in their name, but the person saying that was really meant for me, but he didn't get to change it. And the person, at the, you know, so profoundly at a loss about the debt, they sign over the insurance to the other person, and I'll hear from the person who died, no, I didn't want that person to have it. It was meant for you.
That's what happened with Aunt Roe.
Right. So you know what I'm talking about. So she is guilting you. And look, if you take that cat, the people that you're living with right now are going to be furious.
Yep.
They do not want that cat there. Two, you don't need that responsibility because you have enough already, okay? And, you know, she's asking you and guilting you. And the father said, it is the mother's problem, not yours, okay?
Well, she's already threatening to put it in a shelter, and I'm going there tonight to take care of it because she's not going to take care of the cat.
Now, you see how she's
in the house.
She's threatening. She's guilting you. She's manipulating you, okay?
That's why.
And she doesn't want to take the time to find someone else. Like, you should take it or I'm going to, you know, it's going to be on you. She's trying to make you feel if something happens to that cat, it's your fault, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The cat is not your responsibility, okay? It is her responsibility because that's her child, okay? And, you know, the father just said, don't do anything that's going to get you in trouble with your landlord or make it hard for you, okay? You know, Jeff, you know, is, you know, saying his mom, you know, said to the father, mom does what she wants, but if this is too much for you, just learn to say no. No, you know, we want everybody to like us, but if this is too much for you, then she has to figure it out, okay? But she is a quintessential push everybody's guilt button woman, okay? You know, and that's why, you know, probably Jeff couldn't do anything he wanted to do because she probably guilted him all the time, you know.
That's why I pulled away from them a little bit because it was like, Jeff, I can't, I'm not your mother. I don't want to have anything to do with your mother.
Okay. Now, see, you already said that. So I know, you see, she's taking advantage of you because you're a cat person and everything. Now,
Ben, it's a good cat. I love the cat. It's a good boy.
Well, could you take the cat and then find it a home? But that's a lot for you to do.
Well, if I try to foster it, that's fine. But I still got to deal with Joe, Janet, come into my house while I was sleeping to tell me about Jeff dying. He let my friend come in my house while I was sleeping.
Who came into your house?
My friend Janet. She came in my house.
But wasn't it locked?
In my home.
Was it locked?
Yes, but they can come in through the top. So she came in through the top. She must have come in through the top. I ignored her. I pretended I didn't hear her. And I believe that she came into my house. I got to get out of there. I found a place. I got to get out of there.
Now can you take – now I'm just saying you're not – like, let's hear from your dad, okay? We heard his dad, okay? And his dad is on your side. Anyway, you do what's best for you. But your dad just said, you're trying to find another place to live. I don't think you need another cat, okay? It could make everything harder. So you do what you want to do. And if you want to take the cat because you love it and you feel you want to, that's different than being guilted into doing something.
Okay.
Do not do things out of guilt, okay? And again, you know, I'm really annoyed at people that take it, you know, everyone takes advantage of people at the moment of weakness when someone dies, okay? And then later on, you wonder what the hell you signed on for. Do you know what I mean? Like, so just think it through before you do it, but don't let her guilt you into doing it if that's not what's best for you. Now, she said she's not going to take care of it. How far away from Jeff's apartment or home does she live?
He took care of her, so how the hell are they leaving the mother alone tonight when she couldn't be without him for 2 seconds, and now all of a sudden she could be left alone in her house?
Oh, you mean he lived with his mother? He lived with his mother?
Yes.
So she can't take care of the cat in her home?
No, she's not going to take care of it. She doesn't want to take care of it. They did not do a good job with that cat, believe me. The litter, the house smells of cat piss, and the litter was always dirty. And I stopped going over there because the last time I went, it reeked the cat piss. I said, Jeff, you're just not taking care of your cat.
Okay,
stop going over his house.
Okay, well, again, you know, this is something that, you know, he didn't take care of it. Now, you know, it's going to be your responsibility. Just be sure this is, you know, if you want to take it, find another home or whatever, but it's a lot of responsibility.
I don't want to get in trouble with Joe. And if Joe saw my apartment right now and I had the cat down there on top of it.
Well, yeah, your father just said you have to think about you. Now,
okay.
You know, the mother's going to have to get an aide in that house. You know
that. Immediately, because it's not going to be me.
Well, then you're going to have to say to her, you have to get an aide, and the aide will help take care of the cat. You know, that's it. You can't do it. But
I can't believe she wouldn't want to keep the cat. It's like Jeff's cat. Like, why would you want to get rid of the cat? It's like getting rid of Jeff. But was she thinking straight? That's the first thing she said to me. Jeff died. I guess you heard. And I got to get rid of the cat. Like, what?
And again, that's on her. It's not on you. And, you know, maybe, you know, you can tell her I'll help you find a home for it, but don't take it in the meantime. You know, okay. It's not that hard for her to give the cat some food, okay? Like, maybe.
Exactly.
Okay, so just message me later. And even when you were trying to message me and you said the Gmails weren't going through, right, for me.
Yeah, they got bounced
back. I haven't had that from anyone. I think what's happening is you were so upset. Like, whatever going on with your energy right now is going to be, so you have to take care of you, okay? Like, take care of you and don't take care of, you know, anyone. You know, you can't take on problems, you know. I mean, it's different if you had your home now, but you don't have a home, and it's not your home, and you rent. You know, how old is this cat, by the way?
He's only a couple of years old. He's a baby.
Okay. You know, let's pray that somehow a home comes for this cat. But, you know, don't take this on.
I'm going to ask Peter, but I haven't been able to reach him. Him and Jeff would drive me crazy because nobody picks up their phones. So he just responded, and I'm going to have to tell him. I asked him to call me 12 times because he's a big cat lover, and maybe he would take it.
Okay. Well, we'll see what happens with that, okay? But do not take this cat, okay? She's guilting you, and the father just said, she's manipulating you like she does everybody, okay?
Yep.
So the father said, you know, really, you know, she has to deal with it. And, again, you know, you love cats, so you maybe help her find a home, but don't take it right now because it isn't going to go over good with your landlord, I'm telling you right now.
No, I can't stand them anyway. So, you know, first they told me I could have one now. He goes, oh, well, cat and the dog. He's so full of crap anyway. And they act like they really care about me. They don't care about me. All they want is their money.
All right. So anyway, we have to take some other listeners.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
You can, you know, private message me or whatever, what you decide. But you heard from your dad. You heard from his dad. Okay? So,
yeah.
So you know, you do what's best for you.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
I love you. Thanks.
Love you too. Bye. Oh, boy. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Okay, we have Eric tonight, Nicole, and, you know, you probably remember Eric. We're going to try to see. I can never mute anyone, so maybe Nicole can mute Debbie. Okay, let's see. I'm going to pick up Eric. Okay.
Hello?
You know, hi, Eric. Hi, Eric, how are you?
I'm good, Cindy. How are you?
Okay. And Cindy,
you stole Eric from me.
It's what?
You stole Eric from me.
Oh, okay. I was wondering what was going on.
I was chatting him up in the chat room, and then you stole him.
All right. Well, why don't you tell us what you all chatted up, okay?
Well, we really didn't chat about much. We just kind of said hi, and then he said that he emailed you yesterday, and you said that he can call in today. Therefore, he is on the air.
Yeah. Now,
so, Eric, why don't you tell us why you're calling?
I want you to help me with this one, okay?
Oh, boy. Okay. And here I was about to say I'm going to jump in the chat room. Okay, what's
up? No, 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 no. You are going nowhere, girlfriend. Okay.
Oh, boy. Okay. You know what that means, Eric? I just want you to know what that means. Do you understand what that means when she tells me to stay on?
I think so.
It's a little more tough love than it's a little maybe.
It means that you need some tough love, sir.
Or a little bit, anyway. A little bit, anyway.
She needs some tough love, and she doesn't have the heart for it. That's what it means.
Okay, so tell us your story.
Okay, so basically, I had a high school friend that I used to talk to. And, you know, we reconnected. We were on and off for a while, and eventually we reconnected in the summer, this July. And, you know, that first time that I hung out with her, you know, I felt something that was really, really different. So, you know, I decided, like, you know, why not go for it and see how it goes. So basically, we've been dating for, I guess, 2 months now. It was going to be 2 months. And, you know, basically, I just felt very, I just kept having these gut feelings about, like, maybe she's not taking me as serious as I'm taking it serious. So, you know, just recently, a couple of nights ago, I asked to be, like, you know, check her phone, see what's going on. And I just, you know, I found some things that obviously aren't pleasing. So, you know, we spoke about it. We had a little argument. And then, you know, I don't want to leave her, but I guess I just want advice. Like I said, I still feel something there.
Right. And also the things you found was that she was, you know, talking with other people. Is that what you found?
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, now, were you guys, I didn't ask you in the email, were you supposed to be exclusive? Was that a talk you had, or you never had the talk?
Exclusive how? Like?
Like not seeing anyone else.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
you had a talk about that.
Yeah, I made it official, and I made it straightforward.
Okay.
About us.
Now, this thing about, you know, your generation, and it seems to be going across the generations now, is they still think it's okay to be texting other people or flirting with other people or whatever. And, you know, as a relationship expert, to me, cheating is what your mate thinks is cheating. So if you don't think it's acceptable for someone to be doing that, then it's not really acceptable, okay?
Yeah.
And now, you know, what I had told you yesterday is see this as a red flag. We tend to always give everyone the benefit of the doubt, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I would say it's a little bit in the red flag category. You know, maybe you can't fully trust her. You know, I hope you made it clear that, you know, if she wants to do this, then you're not the right guy for her. Did you make that clear?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay. And I hear in your voice a little bit of depression and a little bit of, like,
yeah,
like you're not really happy. That you're
yeah,
not happy about it.
Yeah, no, definitely I'm not happy about it.
You don't
know,
sound like my Eric. You sound, so maybe you're saying you're okay with it, but are you really okay with the whole thing?
No, I'm not really okay with it. I told her I'm not okay with it.
And then what has she said after that?
You know, we just talk about, like, oh, you know, we just keep reassuring each other. Well, she keeps reassuring me that, you know, whatever happened is the last time, and that everything's going to be fixed, and that they're sure that there's never going to be another, you know, another mistake.
Okay. And are you believing it? Does it sound truthful to you?
At this, like I told her, I told her that I just need to see it in order to believe it.
Right, now you're going
right
to have to build some history. You know, you're going to have to see some history here. And some. And what was her motivation in doing this? Like, why did she say she was still doing this or talking to people? Did she?
Yeah, she said that the reason was that it was because she had fear of me finding someone else while I'm still with her and me, you know, going, you know, sneaking around with that other person.
Now, notice how she turned this on you. Instead of if that's what bothered me the most yesterday, was that she's saying, like, in case some imaginary thing you're going to do, that's why I did it. She's not saying she did it because she's insecure or she's afraid to be alone. She turned it on you, which was the biggest red flag to me of anything. Nicole, how do you feel about that? Okay.
All right. I'm going to be nice, I promise. Okay. So, number one, that is called gaslighting. All right. She's completely taking her behavior, and she's kind of blame shifting. Okay, and she's kind of putting it in your head that it's that you were the reason why she behaved inappropriately. Okay, that is a huge, huge red flag. All right, very, very big red flag. Okay, because that means that she's accountable for her own actions. She's incapable of owning the things that she does. Okay, and basically, like, here's the thing. If she were a strong person in spirit and she were a strong person in mind, okay, and a strong person in heart, it doesn't matter if she thought that you were going to do something, because two wrongs don't make a right, no matter what you try to, how you try to reason that out. So the right answer would never be, oh, hey, what if he finds somebody else? Let me find a backup. That's never a right answer, because two wrongs don't make a right. Okay, so clearly she's not strong of mind, and she's not strong of heart, and she's not strong of spirit, because somebody who's strong in those areas would have just said to you, hey, listen, I know that we discussed A, B, and C, but I'm still not feeling that vibe right now, and I don't know if it's me or you, so let's have a conversation about this so that we're on the same page. Okay, you got to resync up, you know. I mean, when my wife and I first got together, I wasn't really looking for a relationship. She was certainly not looking for a relationship, and we made a conscious choice to casually date for at least 1 year. And even though we saw each other a lot, and even though, you know, we started becoming monogamous within that year, guess what? That year was hers for the taking. She could have done whatever the hell she wants. And you know what? As a result of that, we got into a habit of checking in with each other. Okay, so, you know, hey, where are you at? Where am I at? You know, and it was an open conversation until the day where we said, okay, fine, it's a year. Are we going to make this work, or are we not going to make this work, you know, on a grown-up level now, not in the casual world anymore. And we made the conscious decision to do it, and we've been together ever since for 14 years, you know.
Yeah.
But that's what you need to do. You need to sync up with your partner. You need to have open dialogue with your partner. If she is unwilling to do that to you, or with you, and then she gets caught doing something, and then she says to you, by the way, that was your fault, that is not somebody that I would recommend somebody like you be with. Because you know what? You are open and you are honest and you are doing the work on yourself. You know, you've been through heartache before, and you know, you're focused, you know, and you want something that's real and you want something that's going to last. And that person, in everything that she just did, has proven herself to be nothing more than a liar. Okay. And now secondly to that, okay, do you know Cindy said something very, very interesting, or maybe it was you. You know, you kind of said something earlier about, you know, well, you know, your gut kind of told you something, right? You know, and here's the thing that most people don't understand about your gut. Okay. Number one, you should always listen to your gut. All right.
Yeah.
Your gut is actually known as like your second brain. Okay. Because the lining of the enteric nervous system, that's what it's actually called. So it's the lining of your, like, digestive tract and everything else. They have more nerve cells than your spinal cord or your peripheral nervous system. Okay, so when you're talking about listening to your gut, okay, your gut is acting as your second brain. The same chemicals occur in your gut when you say, like, I have a gut feeling. You're not really speaking metaphorically. You're actually speaking very literally, because your gut does make the same chemicals that your brain makes when it thinks. Okay, so if you're getting these gut feelings from her, and if you want more on that, you could read Deepak Chopra. He goes into the whole microbiome concept, you know. That's where I'm getting this information from, and it's actually very, very good read. You know, if you look on the Chopra Foundation, they've got a lot of information about that, you know. But your gut's telling you something, and because – now, if you were anybody else that was, like, damaged, I would say, you know what? Sometimes you're overthinking things, and, you know, that could be what you're experiencing in that gut feeling of yours. But this is you, and I know your history, and, somewhat, you know, and I know what the kind of work that you've been going through, you know, since you started calling in recently, you know. I know the kind of work that you've been doing on yourself. So I think in this particular case, that gut feeling that you have, that is the work that you've been doing on yourself, protecting you and coming to fruition. So if you have a bad feeling about this, if you have a lack of trust about this, you have good reason for it. And I don't think you should ignore it. So if you're going to give this a chance in any way, shape, or form, certain things need to be said. And that needs to be like, listen, don't tell me that this was my fault, okay? Because I know it's my fault and that ain't it. So if you can't own things that you've done without shifting them or partial blame onto somebody else, then we need to be done right now because you don't deserve that, okay? You deserve better than that. I would have been more satisfied if you called her out and she said, you know what? I fucked up. That is a more respectable answer than what she gave you of, oh, I was afraid that maybe on some plane you might. I mean, do you see all of the ifs in that?
Yeah, but she did. She did admit it. She did admit her mistake and all that.
Okay, and again, I just want you to just go in with the, you know, with your eyes open with her. It's in the beginning of the relationship. You know, she has to gain back trust. I mean, trust is earned with history. You know, you have to see what she does in the next, you know, 6 months, you know, what she does now, with what kind of history. You know, that's the problem, though, is that people have these phones, and everybody has these, like, secret, texting.
Yeah, but you know what? But here's the thing that you're missing, Eric. There's a difference between admitting what you've done and owning it. There's a very, very large difference in admitting something and owning the behavior itself. Okay, so case in point, were you talking to other people after we had our conversation? Yes, I was. That's admitting it. Why did you do that? Well, I was kind of and now we get wishy-washy with it. Okay, so great, she admitted it, but she didn't own the behavior. Now, if she says to you, you know, if it's an owned behavior, it's, were you speaking to people after we had our conversation? Yes, I was. Why did you do that? I was scared of the commitment. Things were getting a little too real for me, and I messed up. And I don't want to make that mistake again. That's owning your behavior. See? So don't just take the admittance of guilt as some sort of a way that we can just say, okay, you know what, let's move past it. She needs to own it first. And then she needs to prove it to you. But if she's not acknowledging, if she's acknowledging that she did something without why it was wrong, she's going to eventually do it again. Because then her knee-jerk reaction is going to be, the next time I'm scared, this is permissible because it's not fully my fault.
No.
Right. Now, how old is she, by the way? How old is she?
She's 21.
She's way under the age of 25, so she's definitely still fixable, okay? So, yeah, she's young, okay? So it's something that I think has to be drawn, like, across the board with people now, that because it seems to be what people do, they just, you know, they have their main person, and then they talk to people they meet on Facebook or Instagram or this and that. You know, having this dialogue that this is not acceptable. And, you know, she is young, and, you know, let's hope she learned from it, okay? You know, because what I could see here is she really likes you. It's not a question of her not liking you. But you know, maybe she's been in the bad habit of, you know, do you know if she's had a relationship in the past? Did she do this with, you know, is this something that was acceptable? Or does she not have a relationship?
I believe she's been in relationships in the past.
Okay, and did she do this with people? You know, was she chit-chatting with other people when she was in those relationships? Maybe it's a bad habit she's in.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
Okay. And again, she is young. You know, I would just say it goes in the category of a red flag, okay? It doesn't mean you can't see her. It doesn't mean you have to do anything other than acknowledge that this isn't, you know, good. And again, cheating is what you think is cheating. You know, if a person doesn't think it's cheating, if their mate's talking to other people, blah, 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 then it's not cheating. But if you think it is, then you have to make it clear to her that if that's what she wants to do, then you're not the right person for her, because that will never be acceptable behavior to you.
Yeah.
You know, so now what do you want to do, Eric? What's coming from your gut and your heart?
Well, my gut and my heart is telling me just, you know, give her a chance. You know, the same thing I told you. If I believe I deserve second chances, I believe other people as well.
Okay, that's always giving everyone the benefit of the doubt. And again, be careful with that. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, you know, you're starting over now from, you know, with new guidelines and rules. But, you know, I don't want you to get in the feeling now you're going to have to be checking what she's doing. Like, are you feeling like now you're going to have to be checking up on what she's doing?
Yeah.
I mean, because that's also an awful feeling.
Yeah, it is. It really is. You know, like, I don't know. I feel like it changes everything for me, you know. I feel mad at the world. It's, you know, obviously you've seen all the changes I made and all the work I've done. Yeah.
Right. And again, you know, if you can, you know, it's going to have to be her building back the trust, you know, and, you know, it's even because everybody has their own phones. Everything makes it so sneaky nowadays. Like, you couldn't even deal with all this crap when we were growing up. There was one phone in a house, okay? Everybody would know what you were up to. Do you know what I mean? And the phone was usually in the kitchen or the living room. And if someone broke up with you, they wouldn't even be able to call the house, or you wouldn't be able to be doing these things. But do you have some things about, you know, how are you going to check up on her? You feel like you're going to be looking at social media? How is it going to affect you? Because it's really awful to have to check up on people.
Yeah, basically what you said. Checking up on social media accounts and all that.
Okay.
Where she's at, the locations.
Right. And, you know, see how that goes. You may find that you don't want to be with a person that you feel you have to do that. And again, Nicole, we have to take into consideration that this girl is 21 years old. She's young, okay? And they do make mistakes.
Okay,
so
listen, we were all young once and we all did stupid things. But you know what? Good lesson to learn, that you need to own your behavior. You know, at 21, you are fully capable of owning your behavior. It doesn't mean that you're not going to behave badly sometimes. It doesn't mean that you're not going to be that you're not going to, you know, make mistakes. I was 21 once too, and God knows I made some mistakes. But don't overlook the fact that she's kind of weaseling and manipulating her way out of this. You know, have a little bit of a guard up. You know, if you want to give her a second chance, your prerogative, your right. People give you a second chance and you want to pay it forward, and that's okay, you know, but at least have the conversation where you guys sync up, you guys get on the same page, you let her know that blaming you is not an answer, and then you both choose to move forward together. That's when that's when the clean slate starts. And then from that point on, once you agree, clean slate, then guess what? You could never bring up this event again, and she can never repeat that behavior again. And if she does, then you know where you stand, okay? But I personally, being somebody that has been on both sides of an equation like this, I personally would not accept that she pushed the blame to you, and you're saying, okay, I'm going to give you another chance.
I would, at the very least, for your own sake, say, listen, whatever's whatever, let's clean slate this, but your behavior, not my fault. You did that for whatever insecurities you have, and if you're insecure, you can tell me, and we'll fix it together. But blaming me, not going to happen again. Okay. And she needs to own her own behavior. She's old enough for that. We're not dealing with a 16-year-old girl that doesn't know the difference. We're dealing with a 21-year-old girl who knew she had a good thing, who decided she was going to blame shift, okay, because it was easier than accepting responsibility.
Right. And of course, hang in there, see what's there. But, you know, again, you know, trusting someone comes with history, like having a history in which that person helps us feel like we can trust them. And normally, you know, you don't know with people, but there's a point when you've been with them long enough, you know you could trust them. You know, with her, you know, I just think it's so much of the culture, have your cake and eat it too, talk to everybody, want attention. You know, maybe she needed some being educated on this. And, you know, but I can hear just a little bit in your voice that you're a little depressed or maybe kicked in the ass with this. It's like it's not what you expected almost, but your gut must have kicked in if you asked her. That's I think we finish up this reading with that. Interesting that your gut kicked in, that you must have thought she was talking to someone or you wouldn't have asked her to see the phone. Like, did your gut tell you something wasn't kosher or something was wrong?
Of course. And obviously, you know me, obviously my gut feeling told me the last time, you know. So, of course, I'm always going to pay attention to it. And I'm pretty sure I've practiced long enough to be able to be in tune with my gut and listen to it.
So let's put it this way. I wouldn't go in there overly protected. I wouldn't even go checking up all her media unless my gut kicked in and said, right now, check, and then you probably see something. Do you know what I mean? But I would just trust your gut on this. If your gut tells you, you know, what she's doing is fine. If it tells you it isn't, then you'll have to, you know, again, ask or check up. Do you know what I mean? But I think she got a little scared. You know, Nicole, think about it. She can't believe that his gut kicked in and then there was the evidence. I think she was a little shocked by that.
I think probably she was a little bit scared shitless out of that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it was both her spirit guides and yours saying, don't screw this up, girlfriend. You know, we're getting you caught with this in the beginning, but know that you will always get caught because Eric has a radar here, okay? So rather than being so paranoid about what she would do next, I would just keep paying attention to what your gut's telling you, you know. And right now, Eric said his gut is that she seems to have understood what she did was wrong. And even though she maybe didn't say it correctly, he feels like he's going to give her another chance. And again, she's lucky to get that second chance. And then just follow your gut on it. Do you know what I mean? And not overthink it at this point. Okay? I think you're just a little disappointed. Get used to the fact that there's very few people on this planet who aren't going to disappoint us at one time or another. You know, I think you're disappointed by her behaviors, but again, she didn't kill somebody, she didn't murder somebody, and maybe she needs to know your rules and who you are, and you know, see how she is from then on. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, I wouldn't end it with her over this, but trust your gut. Again, your gut did not fail you, did it?
No.
And you
never
probably
does.
Didn't even know why you asked her to see the phone. You know, you're probably like, what am I doing? Why am I asking her? Do you know what I mean? Like,
it was a little bit of both. It was a little bit of both.
A little bit of both. And, I'm glad you called in with this because I think it's something that our listeners, if any of you, you know, are chit-chatting with other people, you think it's harmless, you're going on, you know, this app or that app and talking to people, it may come to bite you in the ass because, you know, your mate might have their own little gut kicking in that something's not kosher and not good.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm so glad you called in. We are at the end of our show and they're going to knock us off. If we didn't get to you tonight, please call in again and we will try to get to you next week. Okay. Thank you for sharing their story. Eric, you know, you can always personally message me, email me, let me know what's going on. Okay. Good night, everybody. Thank you, Nicole, for stepping in.
You got it, Cindy. Good night, everyone.
And remember, let's all slow down this week. A little slow down.
Slowing down.
Bye, everybody.